Well, there's more evidence that Australia's efforts to contain the COVID-19 outbreak are working, with the rate of new infections falling to 3% over the weekend. But authorities warn it's still too early to be complacent. Meanwhile, there is a debate going on here and overseas about whether we should all be wearing face masks in public. Dr. Norman Swan joins us now. Hello, Norman.
Hi, Fran.
Hope you're feeling better. The whole country's
tip-top. Absolutely
tracked your scare and hope you're feeling better. That's good to know. Norman, in the United States, if we can just deal with masks first, in the United States, the Center for Disease Control is now recommending that Americans wear face coverings when venturing out in public. I noticed that Singapore too is making a similar recommendation. Do you think we will get to that here? Should we all be wearing some kind of mask when we go out?
So let me just step back a little bit from the mask story to the general principle here. So there's no I think there was a promulgated a belief amongst the community that masks were useless in public. And I might have contributed to that by overstating it a little bit at the time, because you just didn't want people in the early stages of the epidemic to be buying masks that could have been used by emergency department doctors and nurses, for example, firemen. So that was one issue. But there's no question that if everybody outside wore masks, you would reduce the rate of just ordinary, just surgical masks, you would reduce the rate of transmission, but at a very low rate. In other words, many, many hundreds, if not thousands of people would have to wear a mask on every journey for one infection to be prevented. And therefore, the balance of investment had to go, when there's a shortage, to people who had symptoms and were not going to pass them on, even if they didn't know they had COVID-19 or had COVID-19 or were first responders or healthcare personnel working with people. They were the people who had high chance of getting benefit from masks. So let's just turn to the community in general. If you're living in the state of New York, where there is a lot of COVID-19 around, then it does make sense, in fact, to wear some kind of covering around the face. The problem is how much protection that actually gives you and whether it gives you a false sense of security so you lose the social distancing. So a paper I just read, actually just before coming on air, has actually looked at what is a little bit of a mythology around droplets. And bottom line with this study is that, in fact, when you cough or sneeze, and I've actually not seen this data before, when you cough or sneeze, you eject a cloud of turbulent air into the atmosphere. And inside that cloud, the droplets survive longer. They resist evaporation. And go further. So in fact, there may well.
So that's an argument for wearing some kind
correct.
Of face covering.
Correct. That's right. The question is, how long does the face covering actually last for? Because even a surgical mask after 2 or 3 hours needs to be changed, and do you wash it regularly? So it may well be that by inhibiting this ejecting cloud, you do prevent infection. And if you're not sapping the supply of masks for healthcare professionals, then it's unlikely going to do any harm, assuming you don't break social distancing rules.
I'll come back to the sapping the supply, but just to be clear, and I'm sorry to speak about this at breakfast time, everybody, but that cloud you talked about after coughing or sneezing, does that stay in the air if someone's walked past and you walk into that cloud?
Well, that's the implication from this study, but it hasn't been studied well. You'd think that medical science would have sorted this out, but it hasn't. But that's the implication of this study, is that it does hover there. And it matches a study a few weeks ago that we talked about, which was an artificial study of aerosols, not somebody coughing, and found that, in fact, the virus could hover in the air for some time, maybe hours. So the implication is you can catch it more than researchers thought from the air around, particularly if somebody's expelled this snot-filled air. Sorry, breakfast time.
Yeah, okay, it's breakfast. Yesterday, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Paul Kelly, told all of us that we shouldn't be wearing face masks. He said it could be counterproductive because you get itchy, you might touch your face more, but also referring to, we need the masks in our hospitals.
I think Paul Kelly's right. There are risks in wearing masks, that you relax and you don't think about the hygiene issues that you think about before because you think you're safe. And all you should think about, if you do choose to wear one of these cloth masks of some kind, And I suspect a thong isn't thick enough, is that it doesn't get rid of all the other things, and you can't actually break the social distancing rules. That's the key here.
If you can keep your wits about it, it seems like the World Health Organization and others are getting closer to this notion that some kind of face covering, does it need to be a surgical mask? As Mel Tate has asked on Twitter, can you ask, is it worth dusting off the sewing machine and making some masks?
Look, I can't, off the cuff, I'm not going to give any remarks, but the thicker, the more layers to the fabric, the better. So if it's just a loosely woven woolen scarf, probably not. If it's just a thong, probably not. But if it's something a bit thicker than that, maybe. But nobody's got research in this area to suggest it. And there is a little bit of suggestion of some research, which we'll have on tonight on the health report, that, you know, cloth masks do leave a lot to be desired. But
okay. There's also, just finally before we move off masks, because we've got to get to flattening the curve, but some small shops are selling some supplies of masks. Should people buy them, or should they be somehow preserved for health workers?
Depends what kind of masks they are. It may well be that they're not surgical standard masks. I can't comment from this distance. So you might be buying something that, you know, after the first sneeze inside it is completely useless.
All right. Over the weekend, more encouraging signs that we're working towards flattening the curve. What was that figure? A 3% increase only in infections for the previous 24 hours. That's a big improvement. The chief medical officer said it's the lowest rise in a few days. Are the social distancing measures working? Are we flattening this curve, Norman?
You just got to be a little bit careful, and the government's been careful as well, and I think it's really prudent. It's fantastic news. However, there are lots of flaws in the data through nobody's fault. It's just that, you know, some states are slow to report, getting the data in, and it's dangerous going by the day-by-day results. And I'm just looking here at the cumulative data from Australia. And if you look at it, it varies across states. So, for example, New South Wales does not appear to be flattening out. Victoria and Queensland do. WA, no. South Australia, maybe. So there's just, it varies according to state at the moment. And you need to look at a rolling sort of 5 or 7 day average. So it's not uniform across the country. Dramatic reduction in overseas transmission. Community spread continues to be a problem. And, you know, we've really got to capture these benefits. And there's a lot of work to be done in New South Wales.
Talking of capturing, the Chief Medical Officer, Brendan Murphy, said yesterday they don't know how 10% of cases contracted the disease. That's community transmission. Are we testing enough? The government maintains we've got the best testing regime in the world.
Well, we don't have the best testing regime in the world. We've done a lot of tests. There's no question about that. We've got great results with the lower increase. That's fantastic. But the problem now is community transmission. What we've been talking about for a long time is there are a lot of, 50% of the spread are from asymptomatic people. They're either not going to get symptoms or they're yet to get symptoms. And we've got to do something about at least the people with symptoms who've probably got COVID-19 but don't know it, because we're not testing everybody with symptoms. Understand why we haven't had that, because of the capacity in the system. But we've got to use this moment where we've got lower rates of transmission to ramp up testing dramatically, so that in 4 weeks or so, we are testing everybody with symptoms, isolating those with COVID-19, quarantining, contact tracing, etc., so that we can actually start to get back to normal. But unless we've got that expanded testing regime in place, we're going to be at risk, like Singapore, of a second wave.
And just briefly on that, getting back to normal, our way of life severely curtailed, are we getting to the stage where we could relax the shutdown? How soon do you think that could happen, and what's the concerns of a second spike?
We're a long way off relaxing the shutdown. And I think even if we start to get back to normal 4 or 6 weeks from now, it'll be a very slow process. They'll do one thing at a time, see what happens, one thing at a time. And they won't be able to do it at all if they haven't ramped up their testing and contact tracing regime. So we're a long way. As I've just said, New South Wales does not seem to be tailing off from the figures I've got. It's fragile in other states. So we've got a long way, because we've actually got to bend that curve and got to really drop it back down to very, very low numbers and keep it that way before we can start relaxing. And then the relaxing will simply be, you know, we'll still be socially distancing, but we might say, well, schools can go back and we'll wait and see what happens or whatever.
Hashtag bend that curve.
Yep.
Particularly important we remember that in the lead up to Easter. Norman, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Norman Swan, host of the Health Report and, of course, the ABC's coronavirus podcast, CoronaCast.